Well, God bless you. Please be seated. Please be seated. Wonderful. Wonderful to be with the family of God. Boy, isn't God wonderful? Isn't He good? Wow. Sure great to see the body of Christ working together to bless any and everybody. Pretty neat. Well, as you know, the name of our ministry here is Acts Now Fellowship. And I was talking to a lady, an event coordinator at a hotel, and we're talking about doing some kind of an event at their location. And she said, well, what's the name of your group? And I said, it's Acts Now. And she says, is that A-X? Acts Now? Are you a lumber group or something like that? Lumberjack Ministry? No, no. It's Acts, A-C-T-S, okay? And we want to live the book of Acts today, right? It's the book of Acts. And man, when you read the book of Acts, some fantastic things happen. And I want to share a chapter with you that I think is the pinnacle of some of the great things that occurred during that early church that's recorded. So we're going to be looking at the book of Acts chapter 5 here, okay? You know, our vision this year is standing together on God's Word, working together, and I thought that was wonderful shared about the geese sticking together and having the most efficient situation as they fly south. And so we want to stand together on God's Word. People stand together on all kinds of things, don't they? All these different causes. But I cannot think of anything greater. Bert and I were talking earlier about the words of life. These are living words. This is not some cause so that the turtles will live on forever and other things happen. But the words of life, we're talking about eternal life. We heard that in the manifestations. That was really, really wonderful. So there's a section in the book of Acts, that's chapter 5, that I think is very exciting. So I want to share that with you. It looks like most of you have already gone there. We're not going to look at the first part of it, but we'll start in verse 12. But before we go there, I want to highlight verse 20, because verse 20 talks about a direction given to the disciples to go stand and speak to the people the words of life. You can see it on the TV screen here. And what a wonderful direction to go. And so we're going to be talking about getting up and going, taking a stand, and speaking the words of life. You know, Thursday night, Barney shared, if you remember, what did he share on? Sitting, which was really neat. I don't know if you knew I was going to share this or not, but I thought that perspective of a believer sitting. Now, what does that mean to sit? I mean, it doesn't mean like you're doing too much when you're sitting, right? But you sit when you know things are done, finished, and you can refresh yourself, right? So God created the heavens and the earth, what, 6 days or something? And on the seventh day, He rested. He rested. For us as believers, we are seated where? In the heavenlies, right? We're at the right hand of God. We're not standing at the right hand of God. We are seated there. And that means things are completed. They're finished. It's all done. Jesus Christ did the work for us. So we don't need to do the work. We have His perfection in us. So we have the power of the Holy Spirit. We have everything that Jesus Christ said we could do. The works I do, you shall do, and greater works. So we are seated. We are refreshed. But we're not going to just stand there or sit there. We're going to go. We're going to get up and go. You know, if you have a direction, a goal, Well, you got to go there. I coached for a number of years at Coronado High School, the freshman basketball team. And so before the big game, everybody's seated. The players are seated. And I share with them, listen, guys, you've been practicing all week. You know the plays. You know what we need to do. We've talked about this other team and their weaknesses and their strengths and what we can do to beat them. So you guys ready to go? Yeah, let's go. Well, what do they have to do? They have to get up and go and play the game. And that's what we need to do as believers. So let's go to verse 12, though, because I want to share some wonderful things that are in this chapter that we can learn from, okay? So, chapter 5, verse 12, it says, "And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people." Okay? By the hands of the apostles. You know, it doesn't say by the feet or the elbows. It says by the hand. And that's what you work with, your hands. So the apostles worked. They did what they had to do to move God's word. And through them were these wonderful signs and wonders, right? Work through them with the people. And they were all with what? One accord in Solomon's porch. That's where the people would hang out at the temple. They couldn't go into the temple, but they could hang out in this area. And so they went witnessing there. The apostles would go there and hold forth God's word, and they were of one accord. You know, God had worked within them. So they worked together to get the job done. Okay, verse 13. "And the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them, and the believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women." So multitudes of people were getting born again. They were receiving the words of life, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets, laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. Can you imagine that? You know, in your neighborhood, hey, we got some sick folk here. Let's put them out on the street. Maybe Peter will walk by. I mean, what kind of believing did they have? That's why I think this is one of the great pinnacles of the power of God in manifestation. Because people were believing to the extent that even a shadow could heal them and deliver them. Well, there came about also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits. And they were healed, every other one, some of them, everyone. Didn't make any difference what the disease was. Even those that had devil spirits in them. Man, when we go to Agape Now, we definitely deal with devil spirits, people that have been possessed, unfortunately. And it makes it very interesting. But greater is he that's in me, right, than he that's in the world. So it's great how God works with us to work with them, to help them get delivered and see that they have an opportunity to get born again. Well, pretty amazing, huh? Everyone got healed. "Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with them, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with joy and great happiness." No way, they didn't like that. They were very jealous that these apostles were getting the job done that they weren't doing. "And they laid hands on them." You think they were ministering to them? Not at all. "They laid hands on the apostles and put them in the prison," right? The common prison. Verse 19, I love this word, but The angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go, stand, and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. You know, that's what got him in trouble in the first place. But that angel told, you go. You go. You know, and that's what we need to do. God's working in each one of us. We're in the family of God, right? We all have a calling. We all have a purpose that God would have us to do and function in the body of Christ. And so, how do we deal with that? Well, you know, first we sit. We recognize who we are in Christ. We listen to the Heavenly Father. He tells us what we ought to do. Then we got to get up and go. Go. We get up and go. That's why it's great doing Agape Now. You got to get up and go and be there, right? If you're going to go witness somewhere, you got to go and be there. If you're going to go to a fellowship and help and serve and teach, you got to go, right? You got to be on the conference call. You got to go dial the number. Of course, you don't dial numbers anymore, do you? You push buttons or whatever. Or you just say it and it comes up. But anyway, we go. And then we take a stand. We don't back down. We take a stand and then we hold forth the words of life. You know, when we're doing Agape Now and we're out there talking to people, virtually not every person, but most people, I make sure I ask them, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know who He is? And if they say yes, then I go a little bit further. Well, great. How well do you know Him? And we just take it from there. Because we're getting into the words of life. And I can't think of a better occupation. You know, there's a lot of people helping folks do a lot of different things. But to help somebody have a relationship with God Almighty, be a child of God, have eternal life, it's the greatest thing in the whole world. We're in the right business. You're in the right company, I tell you. Because there's nothing greater than holding forth the words of life. Well, let's read on. There's some wonderful things in here. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. So they got up, they went, they took a stand early in the morning. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together, and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, the prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the keepers standing without before the doors. But when we had opened them, we found no man within. Everybody was standing around like they were in there. And lo and behold, they were gone. They were gone. Now, when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priest heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. Then came one and told them, saying, behold, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. You know, they went, they're standing, and they're teaching God's word. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with all your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, oh, I love this. We ought to obey God rather than men. We ought to obey God rather than men. You know, we have a loving Heavenly Father that works with us. And He can tell us what we need to do. He can tell us what we can function, how we can function in the body of Christ. And as we do that, you know, we can be a great blessing for our Heavenly Father. Because God has something for all of us to do. You know, we all have unique abilities and skills. And so God's going to work with us there so that we can function in the most efficient way. So we just want to look forward to that. And we're going to talk a little bit about that with our Vision Fellowship afterwards, about what can we do to heed the calling of God and function in the body of Christ. So, but I think we got a simple formula here. You know, as we sit and recognize who we are in Christ, then we can go, get out there, take that stand, and hold forth the words of life. Well, let's read on here. I want to finish this chapter with you. Verse 30, "The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him God hath exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, whom God hath given to them that obey him," or that are following him. "When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Then stood up there one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space, and said unto them, You men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what you intend to do is touching these men. For behold, these days rose up, before these days rose up Thaddeus, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all as many as obeyed him were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away many people after him. He also perished, and all even as many as obeyed him were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men, and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, you cannot overcome it, lest happily you fight, found even to fight against God." Wow. That just sets it, doesn't it? Pretty neat. Verse 40, "And to them they agreed. To him they agreed with Gamaliel, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go." They had to get their licks in anyway. Commanded them not to speak in the name of Jesus. So what did they do? "And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name." Wow. Boy, that's commitment. That's taking a stand. Then this last verse, a phenomenal verse here. "And how often in the temple? Daily. And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." Isn't that something? Daily they did this. Every day they went to the temple and witnessed. And where else did they go? In the house, home fellowships. Oh my goodness, how sweet are home fellowships, aren't they? Oh, they're just the best, because you have that intimacy there with a few people, and you can just really get to the heart of each and every person there. And this is a great goal for us. You know, you think about it, to have fellowships in the house and to teach and preach. And the word preach is evangelize in the Greek, so just to hold forth the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. And that's what counts. We got to just make sure that his name is being magnified. Because that's the name that saves people. So, what can we learn from what we just read here in the book of Acts? Well, the points I made a note of here, all with one accord and with one mind. They did that with one mind. I don't think I shared that with you, but when it said back in verse 12, with one accord in Solomon's porch, the word one accord is for mind in the Greek. It's used 11 times, translated mind most of the time. So with one mind, they had one. Their thinking was together when they went there, of one accord, of one mind. So it's important as we move the things of God that we are together of one mind, okay? That we can agree on the great truths of God's Word and then work together with that in our hearts. And then to get results, we need to sit first and recognize who we are in Christ, and then we got to go. We just got to go, get out there, and take a stand, and then put ourselves out there by speaking the wonderful works of God, the Word of God. And then I liked it where it said, standing in the temple every day, just out there, always witnessing. I know Al here, he's always witnessing at work. He's always talking to people at work. He has people coming up to him to pray with you all the time. I mean, it's just a lifestyle. Whatever we're doing, we let people know who we are. We are Christians. We have Christ in us. So that's a wonderful witness. And then to go house to house, to have our home fellowships. That's why I really encourage you to embrace the home fellowships. Really be a part of that. And I know we're going through the pandemic thing here and concerns, and that's okay. We want to be wise as we deal with this, but let's remember the value of face-to-face fellowship. You know, we really want to get to that point where we can be together and have that our hearts knit together in love, huh? And then we teach Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't need to teach and get all excited about all the politics going on and all the medical whatever craziness going on. But our words need to be the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one. He's the one that brings life, eternal life. Okay? So, I trust you're challenged here a little bit to move forward with the things of God and what He's working with you. Okay? So, Father, thank You for Your wonderful love and care for us. Thank You that we can learn from Your Word and see what we can do to step out, Father, and be those wonderful ambassadors that You've called us to be. So I thank You for Your people and the privilege we have to work together and work with You and hold forth the words of life. And I thank You in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.